Okay, this upcoming Shabbos, we're going to have the opportunity to study Parshas Emor, and in certain places around the world, Be'ezus Hashem, maybe we'll even have a chance to read it b'tzibur. So the Torah begins with a concept, Emor la kohanim b'nei Aaron v'yamarta aleihem, they speak to the b'nei Aaron, and also and say unto them. Now Rashi notes, why does it say Emor v'yamarta? It comes along to teach us that the Hazir Agdola Malaktanim, that the adults have a responsibility to teach the children. But where do we see that Viamarta refers to them going ahead and learning the rules of what they should teach their children? So Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explains that it's not enough to teach children to do mitzvos. All right, just telling the children, do mitzvahs, it's not enough because the children will not stick to it in the future. Instead, parents need to speak to children about the importance and value of following mitzvahs. That way, the child learns the rules, but also has the ability to understand that there is a beauty behind the rules, that it's not just a bunch of burdens. In fact, as an example, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, the famous Rosh Yeshiva in Baltimore, he added that that's like when you have a child playing ball with his friends. So they're playing in a yard, and the ball rolls into the cemetery. So the child's about to go in to retrieve the ball, and the father says, wait, and he pulls him back. And he says to him that you can't go in there, right? And when the child says, I understand, every time we play, the person in left field in the baseball game, and when the ball goes into the cemetery, the person in left field has to go in. And today, it's my turn to go in. So why can't I do it? So the parent has to not only explain that you're a Kohen, and you can't go in, you can't do your job. You should also explain that as a Kohen, you have a better status, and you carry more importance so that the child doesn't see it as a burden. And the same is true for Am Yisrael. The nations may be able to do or eat whatever they want, but we're more important. And we should be taught to appreciate that status, that we're more important. We should understand that this is not a punishment. It's an ideal. And that's a great thing. Now, the Torah goes on to explain that the Kohanim are to understand that they have the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, says the Torah, Ish mizaracha shabo mum lo yikrav lakriv lachem elokav. That a person who has a deformity, who is a Kohen, is not supposed to be able to go ahead and bring the karbanos. Now, why does a physical deformity ruin a Kohen's ability to serve in the Beis HaMikdash? So Rashi says it's that bringing karbanos to Hashem is no lower than bringing one to a nobleman. And so when we present something, we need to be as presentable as the gift that we're presenting. And Rabelski Zatzal adds that the Kohen is the representative of Klal Yisrael, and his presentation to Hashem needs to be as tamim, as blemishless, or he shouldn't represent. Rabelski added that the same thing is true of us. We also need to represent ourselves in the best way possible when we represent Judaism. We need to make sure that we represent Amah Nivchar with a sense of Kiddush and reverence, just like Hashem would expect from us as well, to represent with a sense of Kiddush and reverence. We're also told that when a child a baby animal is born, so he stays with his mother for 7 days. From the 8th day onward, he can bring it as a carbon to Hashem. So the Medrash notes that the reason is that one can't see the King Hashem without experiencing the Queen, the Malka, first. And this is true for human beings. A bris is also on the 8th day, in the same way that it's true for animals. Now, why is it that an animal needs to experience a Shabbos? Where is it going to make a difference to the animal? So Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita adds and explains that this is the power of Shabbos. It changes the experience of life for everyone who's involved. In fact, the Gemara in Zevachim on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph that says that Shabbos changes the quality of a carbon, even the carbon tamid. That's not directly connected to Shabbos per se, and it infuses it with the transformative power of Kedusha. And the same thing is true for our animal. Shabbos makes its experience more kadosh. We're told also, l'ratzon chem tizbachu, that when you bring a karban, it has to be a karban l'ratzon. Now why do we highlight that the karban toda needs to be l'ratzon? Why specifically the karban toda? So Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria Zatzal answered that the thanksgiving can't be mandated. It needs to be heartfelt. And that's the Torah's point here specifically. You want to bring the karban because internally you want to. Tov l'hodos l'Hashem. Perhaps this is why in the future it'll be the Karban Todah that won't be batal as opposed to the other Karbanos, because that internal need, Lirtzonchem, that internal need will not be batal. Other Karbanos you bring because Hashem told us to bring them. But when you bring a Karban Todah that comes totally from within the human being, then that's why the Ratzon is so essential, especially by the Karban Todah as well. Okay. We're also told, V'losachalalu Hashem Kachi, that we have a responsibility not to go ahead and create a Chilul Hashem. And Rosh Hashanah Shalita would often remind us that when an individual Jew acts improperly, he disgraces the entire Jewish people and the Jewish religion in the process. Rosh Hashanah would tell us about the story about the local Catholic bishop who came to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector in Kovna and explained that one of the major causes of anti-Semitism was the fact that the Gemara says, Atam Kriyim Adam Vein Umos Olam Kriyim Adam. The Jews don't consider non-Jews to be human beings. So if that's the case, why do you think there's anti-Semitism? But Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan used to say that the bishop, that Chazal were teaching us something different. There are four terms for a human being. Ish, Enosh, Gever, and Adam. Ish has a plural, Anashim. Enosh, Anashim. Gever, Gevarim. But Adam is in the plural, is the same as when it refers to the individual. So whenever any other individual who murders or steals or acts improperly, we don't say that his behavior is representative of the nation, we say, and we see this all the time, oh, he's just a bad seed. But everybody else on the whole is a good thing. We make a difference between the Gever and the Givarim, between the Ish and the Anashim. But when it comes to a Jew, we call him Adam. One person does something, it's the entire Jewish community. Just go ask Mayor de Blasio, he'll tell you. And it's used for the single and the pure, and the plural. And so we assume, when it comes to Jews, what one Jew does represents the entire people. That's one of the principles Rosh Hashanah would tell us of Arevim Zelazeh. And unfortunately, it's not only true in the positive, when we say, Mikamcha Yisrael Goyachad Baritz, right? It's true in the negative as well. Other nations of the world are Mishpachos HaAdama. They're just families. They happen to have connections, but one doesn't represent the other. But an individual Jew who behaves improperly brings disgrace onto the entire nation. Why? Because we're one Adam. And we have to make sure not to go ahead and create a problem. We also have the Parsha Samoados, and we're told by Sukkos Teshu Shivas Yamim that we're supposed to dwell in the Sukkah for 7 days. Now, if Sukkos is known as Man Simchasenu, as the time of our Simcha, so why do we go into the temporary dwelling to celebrate it? Wouldn't it be more a question of Simcha if we celebrated in this spacey, comfortable place? Says Rabbi Menachem Genach Shlita, that the point of the mitzvah of Sukkos is the idea that we're lifnei Hashem, that we're dwelling in front of Hashem, and we rely on Him. And that's also why we read Koheles on Sukkos. Koheles also proves that all of the things we think bring us to Simcha, right? They're nothing compared to knowing that Hashem protects us, which will bring us the ultimate peace of mind. To lo yirara kiati imadi, we have to understand that we have nothing to fear because You're with me. That's one of the great Simchas of the time. We, at the end of the parasha, read about the famous story of the Mekalel, the one who cursed Hashem, and we only know that his mother's name was Shlomis Bas Divri, V'shemi Mo Shlomis Bas Divri L'matei Dan. And Rashi explains that we give her name to note that she was the only one who was a Zona. And she was called Bas Divri because she was too busy speaking to everyone, that she was so far into everyone's business. And ultimately, they were in hers too. Now, does this mean that it's wrong to check in on everyone? We're not supposed to be nice people? Is that what the Torah is trying to tell us? Says Rav Nosa Meir Wachvogel Zatzal, that there are times that there are boundaries in life. Hashem established the boundaries from the time of creation, created boundaries between Shemayim and Aretz, between animals on the land and others in the sea. Each animal thrives in his or her proper habitat, not when they overstep their habitats. And that was what Shlomis Bas Divri was guilty of. She had no boundaries. She was in everyone's business and without any boundaries. And this leads to hashchasa, to destruction. Now, there are levels of intimacy that are not all hakol. They're not all the same. So not everyone needs to know everything about every single relationship. And our shalom bias would improve if we understood and lived by that particular rule. Something to think about for us as well. The Torah, which we're supposed to read the Shabbos, comes from Yechezkel, and it too speaks a lot to the Kohanim. And there we're told, Rosham lo yigalechu, Farah lo yishalechu, kasom yichzimu es rasheim, that the Kohanim, when they're in a avelus, they're not supposed to shave their heads. They also shouldn't grow their hair wildly. And the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Yitzayin Amar Aleph notes that Anshe Mishmar were allowed to get haircuts in honor of Shabbos so that they shouldn't come into the Mishmar looking disheveled. Now, in regard to a Nazir, we find the exact opposite, that the Nazir is supposed to let his hair grow because it's a sign of his Kedusha. So what's the difference between the Kohen and the Nazir? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal suggested that the difference was that a sign of kavod towards Shamayim is when a person appears honored in front of people. And so hence he should be presentable and respectable. But the Nazir doesn't have to stand in front of people in the Beis HaMikdash. He's removed from Olam Hazeh. He has no one to dress for in order to impress. He's allowed to let his hair grow wildly. The Kohen, on the other hand, is not permitted to do so, because he has to stand up for in front of the people, lamodu l'sharis, to be an image, a demus, and to be able to serve a purpose. And so therefore he is held to a different standard. We, as a nation, are also held to a different standard. And it's the standard that comes because Ahavti Yischem Amar Hashem. Maybe Be'ezras Hashem will get a chance to also get the chance to see the Kohanim, b'mamadam, to get the opportunity to see the Kohanim serving the rest of us in, on our behalf in the Beis HaMikdash. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us this opportunity speedily in our days, and may we all get the experience to experience the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a Shabbat Shalom to all.